right. Well, guys, welcome. We're still in the just the precipice here of the new year, 2023. So I just want to remind you guys that we are wanting to keep a portion of our service dedicated to reading some of the Word. And it'll be something that Bob or I will assign, and we'll continue to go through the church phone list. And so if you do not want to be someone to read, let me know, because otherwise we will assign a particular Sunday to you to read a passage from the Scriptures. Now, as many of you guys are aware, we were at Fusion just yesterday, even, and the whole theme of Fusion was Jesus is better. I was reminding myself of that before the Lord this morning, that Jesus is better than sleeping in, right? Yeah, that Jesus is better than being comfortable under the covers versus being outside where my truck said it was 15 degrees. It was so cold, my truck was frozen on the inside as well as the outside. It was bad. And, you know, that Jesus is better than just doing my own thing. You know, you wake up in the morning, what's one of the first things you want to do? You want to watch a Godzilla movie. One of the first things you want to do. But Jesus is better than that. And so when I think about that theme, a chapter in the Bible that comes to mind is Hebrews chapter 1, where the author of Hebrews makes much effort to clearly demonstrate that Jesus is better than the angels. And as you recall, in the Scriptures, whenever a human being would come into close contact with an angel, they fell to their feet, fell to their knees. They trembled in fear. They couldn't talk. They wanted to worship the angel, and the angel said, "Whoa, what do you think you're doing?" You know, and it would stop them. And yet Jesus is better. If an angel came into this place, we would be floored. We would be on social media. We would be amazed. Jesus is better than all those things and so much more. So Peter's going to go ahead and read Hebrews 1 for us.
Long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors, through the prophets. And now in these final days, he has spoken to us through his Son. God promised everything to the Son as an inheritance, and through the Son he created the universe. The Son radiates God's own glory, expresses the very character of God, and he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. When he had cleansed us from our sins, he sat down in a place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. This shows that the Son is far greater than the angels, just as the name God gave him is greater than their names. For God never said to any angel what he said to Jesus, "You are my Son, today I have become your Father." God also said, "I will be his Father, and he will be my Son." And when he brought his supreme Son into the world, God said, "Let all of God's angels worship him." Regarding the angels, he says, "He sends his angels like the winds, his servants like flames of fire." But to the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, endures forever and ever. You rule with a scepter of justice. You love justice and hate evil. Therefore, O God, your God has anointed you, pouring out the oil of joy on you more than anyone else." He also says to the Son, "In the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundation of the earth and made the heavens with your hands. They will perish, but you remain forever. They will wear out like old clothing. You will fold them like a cloak and discard them like old clothing. But you are always the same. You will live forever." And God never said to any of the angels, "Sit in the place of honor at my right hand, till I humble your enemies, making them a footstool under your feet." Therefore, angels are only servants, spirits, sent to care for people who inherit salvation. Last verse. Fun. So we must listen to very carefully to the truth we have heard, or we may drift away from it.
Yeah. Didn't want to end without chapter 2, verse 1. Be very careful to listen to the truth, lest you drift away from it. The truth he was just referring to is, of course, in Hebrews 1, but how much better Jesus is than really angels. And if he's better than angels, then he's better than everything else, anything else. And we were all, those of us who went to Fusion, privileged to hear teaching after teaching after teaching that demonstrated that very point. So before we open up the mic and give all of you who are at Fusion a chance to share with what God impressed you with, we're actually going to watch a slideshow. That's right, a slideshow. Now, if you do not appear in this slideshow, either you were not at Fusion or you just weren't within my line of sight. It has nothing to do with you personally. Don't feel bad. Okay? And so with that said, here's the slideshow. Post videos on YouTube on occasion, so if you ever type in my name, you might find a number of videos that I've uploaded over the years. So anyway, guys, this is now going to be your opportunity to share what God impressed you with at Fusion Conference. And there's a good number of things that God spoke to me about. And I just wanted to share one of them. And I think it was in the first one was on Jehoshaphat. And on Jehoshaphat, I don't have the notes up here with me, but I already know what it is. So in that message, which was particularly powerful, Bill Young, the speaker, shared just a simple thought that, boy, I've known for decades. And the simple thought was of the, I'll just call it the power of the ask, that the reason people don't give oftentimes, really, truly, oftentimes, most of the time, the reason people don't give financially is because they've not been asked. And in this situation, the reason that God oftentimes doesn't give to us is because we haven't asked. And the encouragement was simply to ask. Now, wow, he's like, well, I could have stayed home and figured that one out. But for some reason, that simple reminder spoke to me of the power of just asking God for help in my time of need. I think in that situation, Jehoshaphat's city, Jerusalem, was surrounded by a far superior enemy, and they were doomed to destruction. And his first response was to panic. It wasn't. He was alarmed, but he went to God, and he reminded God of who he was and of what was going on. And then he asked God for deliverance, and God honored the ask. So that was on my mind. I thought, I know this, but why is this speaking to me? So we're at Tomfoolery's, and Jay's wristband doesn't work on the rides. And we're going to the Ferris wheel, and I just thought, I'll ask. So I asked the guy if he would allow Jay to also join us on the Ferris wheel. And he looked, and he goes, sure. All I had to do was ask. You know, oftentimes you try to sneak him in, you know, just like, get behind me. You know, just had to ask. It's been on my mind, you know. There's things that I'd like to see God do in my life, in my family, in our church. And yeah, I've been asking, but it's hard for me to say why that simple point has made such an impression on me. But it did, and I feel more emboldened to ask, maybe even say to ask in faith, that God hears, that God wants to answer, that God can answer, that God will answer. It's one of the things on my mind. And so with that, I will now turn over the mic to anyone else who wants to share.
Well, I learned the fusion yesterday. Jesus is battle. The one last night. Superpower. Jesus created the universe. Jesus dispersed the miracles, powers. All things were created by him. Then superhero relate to regular people. Jesus was God in the flesh. Jesus as God became a man, fullness of the duty, temper in every way. Then superhero have a villain to defer than a Jesus defect the sins and death and sin. And hungry ate, drink, tired, he slept, laugh, cry, angry, then suffer, then die, then super heal, have a beauty to rescue, then a Jesus rescue to church. This one I was confused. Jesus was rescue the church, rescue of Christ, and then superhero are willing to sacrifice. The cross is demand of God's sacrifice. Then love demands Christ die for us. Then superheroes live happy ever after. A, then heaven is something to get excellent about. Then I have one more to share. Then yesterday at the seminar, the one else I learned is one thing, Psalm 27. A first clip across river makes sense. Be bellow makes sense. Much hope. One thing, person, life, most thing on Jesus finds his place. 10, one thing with God. Practice God, knowing peace, preach have a current relationship with God, still fall apart, wrong, mercy the people to live in the house of the Lord, place Lord, serve, protect, train Lord, love me, love you, pray you, pay the price he know that been dying on the cross, and since known love, seriously, people who don't like me, the fan will that turns my by inside work hard, make the rock rock. Back work hard, pay well, up me, peace, instance, I don't heal one thing, go first, help house, beat them Martha, anxiety, Jesus, one thing, Martha, chain one, delay one, so this said, the ground kind of old wall, since praise big than God still. The person in the video was at Fusion. He was actually stealing money, but it's just wrong. That gone canon yet. See the load print. Definitely in this one thing. Rock thing last day. Remind one thing, David. Purpose we meant in this other thing meant had hard close. Then thing distant one thing, the thing one thing dinosaur fossils dinosaur some vacation study. Mom. Then people don't that reach plan one thing different. Then. Read the Bible every day, the house talk in life, main week, Bible college, Bible outreach, diagram, changing life, the sermon, come Christ, Lord, may God come, Lord, heart, may one.
The one thing I got out of using is, sorry, Wayne, is something that I really need to work on is like anger, sadness, and sorry. And I think that's why Edge helps me out. You know, I just feel like sometimes I get so angry at people that I take things out on. And they just don't really understand why. And then they showed a clip where this guy was sleeping in the chair and the person was going to throw water at him and be like, why is he doing that? Ain't that kind of mean? But later they set a fire on top of his head. You know, like he was trying to save him by putting the fire out. And I think that's why God needs me to save me. And I just feel like, wow, that was so powerful that I just loved it so much. And I want Tim and Judy to come up here because I just love them so much for helping me out with my problems. So come on up, Tim and Judy.
Short one? Okay. So, anyone who has had the pleasure or displeasure of working with me, whatever way you look at it, knows I've had an issue with anger. I've kind of like, I've fought it off and on. It's kind of like, I think it's my vice, kind of, the more I think about it. It's not the root of the vice, but regardless. There was an entire seminar on this. In fact, it was such a big issue, there was two. I just didn't realize it was a first part. First thing, he started sharing verses about it. And I've noticed that I've been failing in each and every one of these verses. And so I guess Ephesians was like, 4:26-27, be angry and yet do not let sit, do not let the sun go down on your anger. And I'm just like, you're not supposed to let the sun go down on your anger. I failed that like at least twice a week. It was kind of a wake-up call, and apparently I'm supposed to be quick to hear and slow to speak in anger, according to James 19:20. So I was just like, okay, I am failing in a lot of these anger areas. I thought jealousy was the vice, but maybe it's anger that's the vice. I have no clue. The one thing he said that really struck a chord with me was any wrong that I feel has been done to me or any wrong that has been done to me has already been forgiven. And that kind of was like, oh, I guess that would be right because Jesus has forgiven all wrongs anyway. So I guess that would apply here. So like, even if, no matter where I am, like, if somebody does wrong to me, it's already been forgiven despite what they've done. So I was just like, so it kind of pondered on me for that for a while, and I was just like, oh, what am I supposed to do now? Because if I can't be angry and, like, nothing is going to be done. But, like, being angry is not going to solve anything. Like, I'm just going to feel the same way. It's going to end up being the same way as it was if I wasn't angry about it. So it's like, what am I supposed to do here? How am I supposed to, like... And I mean, because sometimes I feel my anger is righteous, but on the other hand, like, no. And so I guess if I can't just be angry about it all the time, I have to proactively find a way to fix my problems. And then Tim came up here and talked about asking. And I'm just like, is it really that simple? Like, I can ask for help. And I just assume if I'm asking for help that, like, I'm asking too much. Like, I don't want to take time out of people's day just because I need help with something. Or, like, if I need help at home or if I need help at the store, I just feel like asking for help would be too much because, like, everybody's busy and everybody's got their own things when they're off work or when they're not on time or church or doing other stuff. So I just felt like I've never had the opportunity or had the right to ask people for help. So that was just, yeah, that was kind of new to me. Just the thought of asking. So yeah, I guess that's the main point I've taken out of this is I need to do better and I need to find alternative ways to talk to people versus being angry when something doesn't go my way. Or if I don't understand something, I just need to ask. And it was funny because Tim was like we were talking once and he's like, if you don't know something, just ask. And I was like, I didn't realize this was going to be the main vocal point of fusion, but here we go again. But yeah, that's one of the things I got out of the conference. I don't have time to go through everything, but this is just the main point. So here it is.
Yeah, it was a real awesome conference. I left my notes at home, so I'll kind of wing it here. Bill Young talked about Nehemiah. Nehemiah was like cupbearer to the king, so he had a really comfy job. He had it made, but God put on his heart to go back to Jerusalem and fix the walls were broken down. The people were in despair. So Nehemiah was bold. He asked the king if he could go there, and he asked the king if he could have the lumber and have an army. So the whatever the king gave him favor, so he blessed him, and it was basically a miracle. In 52 days, they fixed this big wall. You know, God really blessed him. There was two, Jewish people that kind of opposed Nehemiah, but he kept at it, and so, you know, with God's help, you know, he. So he's just talking about how it's easier for men to be passive, Christians be passive, but, you know, Nehemiah was bold. He went out there and God used him. And also, we went to some seminars on like emotions. So emotions are kind of like a warning sign, like a check engine light. So it just shows something's wrong. And the guy talked about how ask the Holy Spirit to give us wisdom and show us what, like if I'm feeling anger, what's causing that? And then ask the Holy Spirit to heal us. Our core emotion is joy and we should be in joy. But sadness or anger derail us from that joy. So, you know, with God's help, with the Holy Spirit, you know, praying in the Bible, we can overcome those negative emotions. So that's a couple of things I learned.
I forgot my notes, so this will be short. But I went to one teen sermon that was like questions from a box, and that just made me, we kind of like answered questions that they pulled out from this box that other teens put in there. And it just made me think of a different viewpoint of these questions that I've never actually thought of before. And it was very interesting just seeing viewpoints of other teens and how they perceived them and stuff. So that was just one thing that like, I was like, oh, I never thought of about that. So that was really helpful for me. And then just the last sermon about Jesus being our superhero. Just like, yes, he obviously is, but like, you just don't really think about it. Like, you never really actually think like, oh, he is our superhero, I guess. I don't know. Yep.
Yeah, it was really a great time. I love Bill Young and just his, it's just a unique way of looking at things. You know, Jehoshaphat, Nehemiah, and David, and how they were great men, but Jesus is still better than them. And the first one on Jehoshaphat just really struck me. I've, you know, going through some tough times here and there, and I always go, okay, who is God? And I go back to, who is God? He's the creator. He is my savior, redeemer, you know, all that. And that was one of his points with Jehoshaphat. Who, what did he do? He said, hey, God, you are the creator of the world. You've done, you know, you are this person. And but he went farther than that. He said, Jehoshaphat then looked at, okay, what has God done? He brought us into this land. You know, he drove out the enemies. And I thought, okay, I can do that. I can look back and I can see what God has done in our lives. You know, Tim and I, we got married. We didn't have anything. He had a ministry job, you know. I didn't have a job. I stayed home with the kids. We didn't always have enough to go the month. We got paid every month, and sometimes bills got paid, but we didn't maybe have enough to buy enough groceries. Or, but God provided. We had somebody to deliver groceries to us. So people would give us a car, a washer and dryer, and, you know. And even recently, it's just so many times God has just given us just what we need, even before we need it sometimes. And then the third thing that Jehoshaphat did was he looked at what God was going to do. And that's a little bit tougher for me because I think, I don't know what God's going to do. Is he going to take me out of this situation, or is he just going to give me the grace to stay in this situation, you know? But I guess I do know, one thing I do know is he will never forsake me. You know, he will never leave me completely in a difficult situation. And ultimately, I'll go to heaven. I have that hope in that my future is not here on earth. And that's the greatest thing that I can know. So that's what I learned.
Evidently, Rika learned quite a bit. I'm hearing quite a bit from her. Yeah. Yeah. This has been a little bit different conference for me. A lot of times when I'm at a conference, I'm taking notes, taking notes, taking notes, and I think, whoa, 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 and then I review them, and you know, some people have said it's like drinking from a fire hose, that kind of a thing. And I didn't really have that experience this time. Everything was wonderful. But after I got home, midnight, I started thinking, wow, I gained a lot in relationships, in our singing. We sang for about 2 hours altogether. And I was disappointed. My voice just doesn't do what it used to do, and that's kind of frustrating. But James says he likes going there because he can sing and doesn't care what anybody thinks of his singing. It's loud. It's very loud. Loud enough you put paper in your ears. It was really loud, and depending on where you sat, I guess. But one theme, I think, that just grips me and was there again is a subject of humility. And when Bill was sharing about David, Kristen mentioned that he talked about David, and a specific event in David's life when his town of residence was entirely wiped out, and his wives and all the relatives, all the wives and children of the 600 men who were with him were taken away. That actually happened after they had just traveled about 12 days on foot to get back to Ziklag, or was it 6 days? It takes 6 or 12. Was it? Yeah, okay, 6 days then. They had been traveling, so they were kind of worn out. Then David inquires of the Lord and says, what should we do? Should we go after these guys? Will you give them into our hand? And the Lord said, go, I'll give them into your hand. And that was enough for David. He developed a plan with some counsel, went out, and they got to this brook, Besor, and by that time, 200, a third of his group, said, I am just too tired. I am exhausted. I can't go any farther. David said, you stay here. And the 400 with David went on, and they had a tremendous victory. They, you know, God fought the battle again, and not only did they spend another 24 hours in battle, fighting, wearier yet, but they had a tremendous victory, and the plunder was just huge that they took back. Here's where I want to pick it up. When David came to the 200 men who were too exhausted to follow, are you with me? Those 200 stayed behind, and they came back to those 200. They went out to meet David and to meet the people who were with him, and David approached the people, and he greeted them. He didn't lecture them, saying, where were you? He greeted them. Then all the wicked and worthless men, that's who David's people were, wicked and worthless men among those who went out with David answered, because they didn't go up with us, we will not give any of the spoil that we have recovered except to every man, his wife, and his children, that they may lead them away and depart. Get them out of here. You know, we don't want, these guys are the low count. They're the people that don't count. They don't contribute. We don't want them with us. And David said, you must not do so, my brothers, with what the Lord has given us, who has kept us and delivered into our hand the band that came against us, and who will listen to you in this matter. For as is his share who goes down to battle, so shall his share be who stays with the baggage. They shall share alike. And listen to this. And so it has been from that day forward that he made it a statute and an ordinance in Israel to this day. We are united. We are the family. We are one. Don't you dare cut down somebody else. They're part of you. And this theme, I have, you know, I've been around a while, and I have watched the leaders in the movement that we run with, and they're humble men. And I just think it is so profound. We happened, you know, Patty, she's kind of gregarious, and we sat down to supper, and she saw Rory and Catherine Whitney approaching an empty table. She says, come over here. And so we had the tremendous pleasure of having supper with Rory and Catherine. And Rory had made this comment in another event that I was with, a men's event there at the Fusion, that in 1995 he attended a men's conference, and as he came, was getting ready to leave, he just knew in his heart, I am committed to this bunch of guys. That's where I'm planting my flag. See, Rory had already been in another church movement, and nothing against any other church movement. That's not the issue. The issue is this. Rory knew that his heart was here, and he was planting his flag. That's where I'm going to be. That's what I see here with David. You can't cut us apart. This is our group. These are the men who have come together. We've labored together. We are staying together, and we're not going to undignify anyone who was just too weary, had other circumstances going on, just couldn't make it, couldn't go on any farther. We've all been weary before. And David made this, and it became an ordinance in Israel. Let me tell you one more thing. This will amaze you if you weren't there. Actually, you could have only gotten this from the men's event. There was a time in the church there in Omaha, I can't believe this, but when a bunch of scoundrels there in the church, there will always be discord, because we're people and we're fickle. But one time it got so hot that Rory had to call in other big men in our association to settle this issue, because there are about 10 guys who wanted Rory to be removed from being a pastor. So they had this powwow, and they each had an opportunity to speak. And the first guy said they were supposed to tell what they had against Rory. And so the first guy spoke, and Rory wrote it down. And the next guy spoke, and Rory wrote it down. They all spoke. And then Rory asked for permission to speak. And he said, you say that I did this, and it offended you. I'm sorry. Would you forgive me? And he went all down the row doing the very same thing. He had written it down. This is your offense against me? I'm sorry. Would you forgive me? He said by the time they were getting, you know, two-thirds of the way through, the women were bawling. You know, it was a touching time, and it was a turning point in that church, just like this turning point in the life of David's men. They learned they had heart. They learned to give their heart. They learned to be connected at the heart. And what a lesson. And that's the point at which the Omaha church took off. Those people that were his accusers stopped coming. Imagine that. His brother, Rick, says, you will either be a servant of the church or you'll be a judge of it. This is our family. And here's where we work. Here's where we get along. Here's where we determine to preserve the unity of the Spirit. So that was a taste. I'm amazed what God did, but it's in the Bible. It's good. We are one.
And there you go. That was the message for today. But those are only little teeny parts. That's just a little sliver of what we all heard. You can hear the whole thing by going to fusionmidwest.org. Yep. Fusionmidwest.org. You can listen to all the main teachings and all the seminars. I know, right? You can just go to the website and listen to your heart's content. But we're done here for today. I'd like to just introduce the offering. One point that Bill Young made with Nehemiah, point number one that he made, is that difference makers, because he said this, Nehemiah exemplified that of a difference maker. He said, difference makers care about the same things that God cares about. God cares about truth. He cares about people. He cares about the church. This is our opportunity to care as well. And so this is your chance to go back to that obelisk and give your tithes and your offerings. And that money will then, of course, be used to care for the church and the needs of our community. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you so much that you do care. And it's evident by the fact that you even revealed your word to us. You didn't even need to reveal yourself and your thoughts, the very mind of God. You didn't have to do that. But then you went beyond that. You did more than that. You did one better than that. You sent yourself. The Son of God himself came, lived among us, laid down his life for us, and he's coming again to take us home. You truly are better. And I just pray now that you would bless every gift and every giver as we give back just such a small portion of what you've given to us. It's hardly even worth talking about. But you talk about it. You like it. You love it. Bless now these gifts in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, so if anyone's looking